Man. Right. Morning, everybody. Happy New Year. Everyone had an amazing time with family and loved ones for Christmas. I love this time of year. I just love remembering Jesus and what he did for us. I'm coming to this earth just like all of us. You know, just putting on flesh, becoming a baby, and being born in the most humble circumstance. So I got too many things in my hands. Got to figure out how to do this. I'm not great at multitasking, but we'll see together here. Right. Got it? Go. All right, I'm going to start with a story this morning, and I have to tell you, I have new glasses. I normally don't wear glasses, but I got these progressives so that I can see through and look at you and read whatever I have to read at the same time, and it's new for me, so this all looks a little bit weird. I want to start with a story, and I remember as a young person in high school, I don't remember what grade I was in, but I remember this one night, my dad loved, he was an audio engineer, and he loved Handel's Messiah. And so I remember this one night going to sleep while Handel's Messiah was playing, and what I was struck by was I just had so much peace. And it was like all this teenage turmoil that was deep inside that I didn't even really know was there. All I knew was that suddenly something was different. It was like I didn't know peace before, and then suddenly I did. How many can relate to that? So I remember going to sleep, and I just had this incredible peace in my heart. And I never really cared for classical music. You know, my dad liked classical music. I didn't. But in this moment in time, it was like, wow. Now I look back and I realize, you know, it was the presence of God. God, Jesus was there. His presence was there. And I was experiencing something. And so from that night on, I would just go. I think it was around Christmas time. We were listening to Handel's Messiah. But I would go before I go to sleep, and I just put on the record player. How many remember those days with vinyl records? And I put on Handel's Messiah, and then I go to sleep. And I just would be so filled with peace. And it was a new beginning for me. It was a new beginning for me experiencing the peace of God in a way that I had never experienced before. So I want to talk to you this morning about new beginnings. I love this time of year. I like September and I like January. I have different reasons to like every part of the year. But I like September and January because both of those times are like this opportunity to start fresh, to have a new beginning. And so I just believe that the Lord, that there's an invitation to all of us, an exceptional invitation. I actually feel like 2022, that there is an invitation for us for a new beginning. You know, there's always one, but I don't know how I want to say this, but maybe like an exceptional anointing for a new beginning in 2022. I really believe that. I really believe that the Lord has grace, an exceptional measure of grace for each one of us for a new beginning in 2022. So I want to start by reading out of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Sometimes that's hard to say. Out of the New King James. And so verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." How many know that each one of us are in a process of being conformed into the image of Jesus? We're being transformed into the image of Jesus, right? Can you say amen? We're in a process. Each one of us is in a process where the Holy Spirit is moving on our spirit and inviting us in to becoming more like Jesus. And it's a wonderful process that we're each in. And I think one of the most amazing things about God is that God's grace is new every morning. He has mercy and grace new for us every morning. And it's now. You know, theologians talk about how God is in the eternal now, you know, and so those, we're all in time. And so sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around this idea that God's outside of time. God created time. He is not bound by time. He's outside of time. And with him, he's in the eternal now. And he always has grace and mercy for us now. You know, throughout Scripture, you look in Scripture and he says, today is the day of salvation. He has new mercy and new grace for us now. So Paul says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. What does it mean when he says sanctify? You know, what is make holy? I heard somebody say it, make holy. Sanctify means to make holy. Sanctify, to set apart for a special purpose, to purify or make holy. Now, salvation happens in an instant. You know, we come to Jesus, we come to him humbly, and we accept this beautiful gift of salvation. So when we come to him and we ask for forgiveness and we invite him into our hearts and lives, that moment in time, instantaneously, we are saved. And it's not by anything we've done, right? Amen? It's not by anything we've done. We can't earn it. It's because Jesus earned it. It's because what Jesus did for us, the penalty for our sins, he bore on the cross. He paid the price for you and I. And so salvation happens in an instant, but sanctification is a process, right? Sanctification is a process. Now, let me make this clear, because this is one of those concepts that, you know, truth is held in tension. And so we are holy not by what we do, but by the blood of Jesus. We are made holy by the blood of Jesus. We are made right. We are given right standing with the Father because of what Jesus did. Yet, there is a process where we partner with the Holy Spirit to become more and more and more like Jesus. And that's what sanctification is all about. It's about you and I growing into spiritual maturity to become like Jesus. Amen? That's what he invites us into. And that's a partnership. Salvation is instantaneous, but sanctification is a process that we walk out with him. And so God's goal, his heart, is for you and I to be spiritually mature, that we would grow in spiritual maturity. And the way that happens is by us partnering with the Holy Spirit as he comes. He puts his finger on things in our lives that he wants us perhaps to prune or to cooperate with him and to grow into maturity. What is the sign of spiritual maturity? Fruit. Amen? In nature, if you look across in nature, it doesn't matter what you look at or what example there is, the sign of maturity is fruit. And so what is the sign of spiritual maturity in our lives? What would it be? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. I heard somebody say fruit. So Galatians 5, 22 through 23, Paul says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, I know it as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he goes on to say, against such things there is no law. Amen? There is no law when there's the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit supersedes anything else. So the sign of spiritual maturity is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so the Lord invites us into a partnership with him that we would partner with his Spirit to grow in spiritual maturity. You know, how many know that stress and anxiety is not a fruit of the Spirit, right? Neither is fear, neither is any of the other things that the enemy loves to bring into our lives. But the sign of spiritual maturity is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So I want my life. I want to be growing each year by year in more love, in more joy, in more peace, in more patience, in more kindness, in more goodness. I want to be growing in those in my life. I want to be partnering with the Holy Spirit to be growing in that and in partnership with this process of sanctification. And so Paul says, and he goes on to say, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. How many know we are triune beings, right? Spirit, soul, body. Amen? We're created in the image of God. So God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are a triune being. So we are a spirit with a soul who inhabits a body. Amen? You say amen? So I believe that God's not just interested in your spirit. He's not just concerned about your soul. He is interested. He has concern over all of you, every part of you, spirit, soul, and body. And so Paul's prayer is that we would be preserved blameless, our spirit, soul, body, our triune being, every part of us would be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I believe that 2022, there is an exceptional grace this year for new beginnings. And so I want to just encourage us that God wants you to be strong in spirit, transformed in your soul, and have a healthy body. That's God's heart for each one of us, to be strong in spirit, that our soul would be transformed, changed into the likeness of Jesus, and we'd be healthy. Our bodies would be healthy. So I want to talk to you about these three aspects. Strong in spirit, our soul transformed, having a healthy body. So how many know that Jesus was strong in spirit? Actually says in Luke, we'll look at this, that John the Baptist was strong in spirit, and Jesus was strong in spirit. So I'm going to read these verses out of Luke. Luke 1:80 says, so the child, talking about John the Baptist, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. And then Luke 2:40 says this, and the child, talking about Jesus, capital C, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I remember, must have been, I think, at least 20 years ago, when I came across these two verses in Luke, and I started thinking about this, that the Holy Spirit, through Luke, is very intentional in telling us that John the Baptist and Jesus were both strong in spirit. But what does it mean to be strong in spirit? Think about that. What does it mean to be strong in spirit? John the Baptist and Jesus says they were strong in spirit. So I want to suggest to you that being strong in spirit means that our spirit leads. That our spirit, because our spirit is in union with the Holy Spirit. And so when our spirit leads in partnership with the Holy Spirit, that's what it means to be strong in spirit. That's what allowed Jesus to go to the cross. Amen? You know, when Jesus was in Gethsemane, and he was there on the night he was betrayed, and he was praying these agonizing prayers, and we can see his soul. His soul was in agony. And so it says, the scripture says that he sweat great drops of blood. So we know that this is a medical condition. I've heard doctors and different people talk about this, that other people in history, when they're under really, really great stress, like the kind of stress right before they were to be killed or something really, really stressful, that the capillaries in your, you know, temple in your head can burst and you can sweat blood. And so that's what Jesus did. Jesus was under so much stress. He knew where he was headed. He knew he was going to the cross. And so he's praying, he's crying out, Abba, Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. And so that's what it means to be strong in spirit. He's not letting his soul lead. He's being led by his spirit in conjunction with, well, with the Holy Spirit. That's his spirit. And so that's what was leading him in that moment. That's what it means to be strong in spirit. So Jesus, same time frame, in the garden, he's there and he's praying and he says to his disciples, to Peter, James, and John, and he tells them in Matthew 26, verse 41, he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I want you to think about this. Now, what did Jesus mean when he's talking about the flesh? When we look in the New Testament, Paul talks about the flesh, and different translations translate this differently. But Paul, the apostle, talks about our old nature, or the old man, or the flesh. And then he talks about how putting the old flesh to death. You know, he says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. And so there's this idea, there's this understanding that our spirit, which is in union with the Holy Spirit, is constantly at battle with our old nature, or what the Bible refers to as our flesh, or the old man. So the spirit wars against the flesh. This is what Paul said in Galatians. He said, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. God's heart for you and I is that our spirit would lead the way, and that our soul would be subject to that. God wants our soul to be transformed and to look like Jesus. Amen? So this is what Paul said in Romans 12. He said, therefore I urge you. There's this sense of urgency, right? He says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's look at verse 2 again. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transform, that we translate transformed in the Greek, that word is metamorpho, which is where we get the word metamorphosis. And so the idea there is that it's like this idea of, you know, the caterpillar dying and the butterfly emerging. The caterpillar going through this process where it's transformed from one thing to another. So God's heart for us is that our soul would be transformed. That the old nature, that the flesh, the old man, that would be dead like the caterpillar, and the new man, the new creation, would emerge like the butterfly. And so that as we partner with the Holy Spirit, this process happens. It's the sanctification of our soul. It's us being transformed into the image of Jesus. And I believe that this year there's an exceptional grace the Lord wants to release for you and I to partner with him for a new beginning. That we can partner with him to see a new start, a fresh start in our lives. How does this happen? Paul says it happens by the renewing of our mind. Our minds must be renewed. Now, I don't know how many of you have a regular Bible reading plan, but if you don't, we have one. And I have a picture of it right there on the slide. I created when I was on sabbatical a year and a half ago. I just had it in my heart to create this Bible reading plan. It was really started for me and my family. And then I realized, I think this was perhaps useful for the body of Christ. And so it came out of a conversation I had with my daughter, and how she, you know, she was talking about, like, she doesn't like reading so much, like the other Bible plans we used in the past, which I'd moved from a one-year Bible plan to a two-year Bible plan. But even then, it was like, that's a lot to read in one day. And so then I realized, how about, what if we divided? Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, discipling them. How about a three-year Bible reading plan? So I did a whole bunch of work, took me about a month, I think, and put this together where there's a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit in the Gospels, and then a Psalm or Proverb throughout the week. And so we love it. We love it. I would like to see a show of hands of who, not just our Bible reading plan, but if you were engaged this past year in reading your Bible regularly, could you raise your hand? See, that's awesome. Why don't you look around? Keep your hands up. Look around. Can we just give them a round of applause for doing that? You know, here's the deal. The Lord wants us, God has given us the mind of Christ. But in order for me to think like he thinks, I need to have my mind renewed. This is what teaches me how to think. This is what teaches me how to think. You know, I'm amazed at how many Christians in this day and age, you know, it's like they need to go back and read Romans 12:2, right? Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, it's like there's so many Christians, we have been given such a gift in the Scriptures, and I wonder how much we value it. I wonder how much we treasure this. You know, the psalmist said, thy word I've hid in my heart. I've treasured it and put it in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. I learned that in the King James. You know, and so God has this, it's like this gift to us of the Scriptures for us to understand him and to teach us how to think. So every one of us can enter into this process of our mind being renewed. And how that happens is you and I being in the Word, being regularly in the Word, being in worship, being in his presence. You know, his presence, it's so simple. It's just a matter of coming to him with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. And what? His courts with praise. As we come to him with thanksgiving, and we come to him with praise and with worship, we enter into his presence. We come into his presence. And it's impossible. How many know it's impossible to be in the presence of God and not be changed? As, you know, it's like the song, or one of the scriptures says, we go from glory to glory. As we come into his presence, we are changed. We are made like him. And it's so simple and it's so rewarding. So our mind is renewed as we are regularly, faithfully in the Word, in worship, in prayer, spending time in his presence. You know, and I used to read my Bible faithfully as a young person in the Lord, because somehow I think subconsciously I believed that if I did that, you know, I would stay on God's good side. I would, you know, he wouldn't be as mad at me. I kind of had my perspective of God needed to be transformed and renewed. But I had this idea of God that was like, you know, I would read my Bible faithfully because I just wanted to stay on his good side, or somehow I thought that maybe he would love me more. I mean, no, he cannot love you any more than he does right now. He loves you. He loves each one of us. He loves us so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He so loves each one of us. He sent Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we couldn't do anything right, that's when Christ died for us and reconciled us to the Father. That's how much he loves us. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you or I can do to add to his love or even to take away from his love. But what happens when we read the Word, when we spend time, when we discipline ourselves, being a disciple, see the word discipline's in that, right? Being a disciple means that we actually partner with the Holy Spirit in spiritual disciplines to become more like Jesus. As we do that, we are transformed. So I'm exhorting you. I'm appealing to you, just like Paul. If you don't have a regular system of being in the Word, consider using our Bible reading plan, the 3-year Bible plan. It's so simple. A chapter a day, just about a chapter, or maybe a little bit more than a chapter a day, takes about 5 minutes. Hey, if you can spend 5 minutes on your phone, you can spend, and even you can read the Word on your phone, you can spend 5 minutes reading the Word of God and letting it transform you. Amen? So we have these. They're on the table or whatever it is by the cookies outside there. If you want one, grab one. They're there. If you don't use ours, use one. Use something. But be in the Word of God. Amen? So the next thing I want to just touch on briefly is truth and lies. You know, the enemy is a liar. He's the father of lies, right? So the way, how does he get us in bondage? He sows lies. That's what he does. He comes. That's what he's an expert at. He studies us and he figures out what he can do to deceive us. And so that's what he brings. And so all of us, you know, I don't believe any, all of us have the truth completely, right? We're in a process where we need the Holy Spirit to identify where are the lies that the enemy sowed in my life. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So we have to know the truth, because if we don't, we're going to believe a lie and we're going to be in bondage to the enemy, and the Lord wants us to be free. So we have a ministry at Mountain Song Church called Encounter. It's Encounter Ministry and it's beautiful. It's an amazing ministry that helps us to identify lies that we might be believing in our life and let the Holy Spirit bring truth and let the freedom of the Lord come through that. But I've come to the point in my life now where I'm just like, if I don't have hope, we have this belief, and it came from Francis Frangipane. He wrote the book, The Three Battlegrounds. And he says this: if there's any area of your life that doesn't glisten with hope, it's under the influence of a lie. Because God is the God of all hope. Amen? Does he have any lack of hope? God has no lack of hope. So if there's any area of your life that if it's not glistening with hope, it's under the influence of a lie. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit into that place. I'll be like, wait a minute, I'm depressed in this area. Wait a minute, I don't have hope right now in this area. So I'll stop and I'll go, Jesus, what is the lie I'm believing? And as I wait on the Lord, he'll begin to show me. As I wait on him, he begins to show me, oh, you believe this. And so then what I do is I renounce the lie and then I replace it with the truth. God, what's your truth? Jesus, what's the truth? Oftentimes what happens is there's a scripture that enters into my mind or my thinking, my heart. And so I'll renounce the lie. I embrace the truth about this and it brings freedom. Because Jesus said, you'll know the truth. So all of us have the same 24 hours in a day. All of us have. We have time. It's not, you know, this is one of the lies of the enemy. I don't have time. Hey, if you have time to eat, you have time to spend time with Jesus, right? I mean, if you have time to take a shower, you have time to spend a little bit of time with Jesus nourishing your soul. Amen? Because there's fruit. There will be fruit from our lives. Whatever. You know, the fruit in our lives doesn't lie. Like whatever is foremost in our life, there will be fruit that comes from that. And the Lord, as we partner with him, as we abide in him, because that's what Jesus said in John 15, abide, I'm the vine, you're the branches, all you got to do is remain connected to me. And as you do that, what happens? You will bear fruit. As we stay connected to Jesus, as we're abiding in him, remaining connected to him, that's when fruit happens. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Hey, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. I want to say this to you this morning. If there's any area of your life that feels out of control, the Lord has grace for you. This today can be the day of new beginnings. Today can be the day for a fresh new start. If there's an area of your life that's out of control, if you have an addiction somewhere to something that's not Jesus, God wants to set you free. I came across this statistic recently, and that is that 67% of the men in the church, Christian men who go to church, regularly look at porn. 67% of men in the church nationwide regularly look at porn. 30% of the women. Now that's a staggering statistic. And the reality is that Jesus has grace for us to set us free. You know, I want to say to you, I'm going to move on, but I want to say this. I'm one of those preachers, if there's an elephant in the room, I'm going to talk about it. So, you know, here's the deal. Jesus has freedom for every single one of us. He has grace for every single one of us. What is grace? It's not just unmerited favor. It is that. It's favor that we don't deserve. It's also divine empowerment. It's the empowerment from the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus said to do. So recently I took a group of young men through, John Bevere has an app. It's called Messenger X. If you have a smartphone, you can download Messenger X. It's 100% free. And in that, there's a course called Porn Free. And it's awesome. It's amazing. If anyone in here, men or women, if you're struggling with a sexual addiction, I recommend that app. And don't do it alone. Get a few other men, or if you're a woman, get some other women to do it with you and go through it together. It's very powerful. All right. God has grace. He has grace for us. This is what Paul said in Romans 5:20. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. The divine empowerment of God. When we come to God humbly, when we come to Him and we cry out to Him for help, it's impossible to pray and nothing happen. It's absolutely impossible to pray. It's impossible to cry out to a loving Father and Him to sit there with His arms folded and not give us the help that we needed. So if you need help in any area of your life, God has grace for you. God has grace for every single one of us. This is what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 4. He said, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's the divine empowerment right there. When you need help, you come boldly to the throne of grace, not based upon your merit, not based upon what you've done, but based upon what Jesus has done, based upon the fact, the truth, that we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and that qualifies every single one of us to run as a father, as a son, or a daughter to their father, right into His throne room to obtain the help, the grace and the help that we need in a time of need. Amen? So God wants our spirit to be strong, our soul to be transformed, and our body to be healthy. God's not just concerned about your spirit and soul. He's concerned about every part of you, right? Amen? This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6. He said, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself." We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is concerned for every part of you. And here's what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:8. He said, "Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come." In other words, if you have a choice between training for your body or training for your soul, train for your soul. But training for your body is good too. But he's like, if you're going to compare the two, and you kind of get this picture of Timothy being one of these guys that works out all the time because of the metaphors that Paul used with him. But he's like, you know, hey, that's good, but the better part is to train your soul for the purpose of godliness. Train ourselves for godliness, but yet physical training is good. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to just pause right now as I bring this message to an end. I just want us to pause and just to listen to the Holy Spirit and what He would have us partner with Him in the transformation of our soul, in the strengthening of our spirit, and of us becoming healthier and healthier. Can we just do that? Just wait on the Lord for just a moment. Holy Spirit, thank You. Lord, we just ask You to come even more, right? Speak to us. Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, for everyone here today, Lord, just for the grace, Lord, to partner with You, Lord, to receive Your forgiveness, receive Your grace, mercy, and to partner with You in the transformation of our soul, in the sanctification process, Lord, that we would walk with You, we would become more and more like You. Lord, whatever area in our lives, Lord, that You want to put Your finger on, just to start fresh, that we can start fresh this year, a new beginning, that we can have a new beginning with You this year in 2022. Lord, I just pray that, I pray for hope, I pray for encouragement, I pray against discouragement, that no one in here would believe the lie that they just can't change it, that they're the one person, that the exception, that they can't possibly, that You don't have enough power or anointing to help them. Lord, we just break that lie off. Lord, that You have grace for every single one of us. You meet us where we are. We take one step toward you, and You take 10 toward us. So, Lord, I just release grace right now over my friends, Lord, over all my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, for grace in 2022. Lord, to partner with You in a whole fresh way. Name Jesus. Amen. Could we have the worship team come on up? All right, if you agree, can you say amen? All right. We're going to take communion together. And just love. Maybe we could have the ushers come up.